cars in the driveway. The garage is full of junk. It'll take me a week to clean it, but by then I'll still be drunk. I got the blues. Oh, the homeowner blues.
Well, man's home is his castle. This one's just a hassle.
Homeowner blues.
Hello, folks, and welcome to this, the Homeowners Friend Podcast, the podcast that will help you achieve the American dream and live the best life you can, even on a rice and beans budget. Today's topic is going to be water heaters. I want to quickly remind you that we have the HOF Podcast YouTube channel. Quite a few of you have been over there and looked at it, and I got a few hits there. And there's just one video on there now. It's actually a series of three, but it's all one video on breaker boxes, and we'll be putting some more up here pretty shortly, so I just want to make sure the folks know that that exists. So, moving right along onto hot water heaters. There's two main types of water heaters, and then there's a few different fuels. The two main types are storage water heaters, which are the typical tanks you see in the basement, and then there's on-demand ones. And we'll talk about the storage ones first, kind of the antiquated, antique style, but they're fine in many applications. And then we'll talk about the on-demands afterwards. They're a little bit more high-tech, a little bit different, the way they function. Now, there's also like three different fuels that you can have to heat the water. You can have oil-fired, gas-fired, a gas being propane or you know, LPG off the street, one or the other. And, of course, you have electric hot water heaters. And I'll talk about the latter first. That'd be electric hot water heaters, because they're probably the most popular and cheapest thing to put in, at least for installation anyway. Electric hot water heaters obviously use electricity to heat the water. There's typically two heating elements in the tank. There's one usually about a third of the way down from the top, and one about a third of the way up from the bottom or so. Typically, if you look at the water heater, if it's not got, you know, an extra wrap around it or something, you'll notice that there's two kind of access plates on the side. And if you pop those plates off and go in there between all the insulation, you'll actually see the two elements. They are typically replaceable. You can usually unscrew them and replace them because they do occasionally burn out. This is an electric heating element, and occasionally they burn out. Generally, what happens with water heaters, though, is they spring a leak. Generally, it's not the elements that go. Although that does happen, especially if you have very hard water, but typically they leak before they burn out. It's been my experience, but you know, that doesn't mean you know, they won't occasionally burn out. I have heard you know, somebody at my work had one that the element actually he took the element out and the thing was completely corroded away. It was amazing what happened to it, and it was shorting out and it was popping the breaker. No duh, if you looked at this thing, you'd be amazed that it didn't pop the breaker immediately. There was really not much of anything left of that element at all. It was completely chewed away by the water, the stuff in the water. Yeah, so it's really pretty amazing. But it's an old tank. But anyway, as I said, there's two elements, and they don't operate at the same time. Usually, what happens is if you start off with a cold tank of water, the top one turns on first, and it heats up the top part of the tank up to the temperature that it's set for, and then that one will tick off, and then the bottom one will kick in, and it'll heat the bottom half of the tank up. You know, heat rises, so if you heat the top of the tank up, the bottom of the tank will pretty much stay cold, more or less. I mean, I'm sure it heats up a little bit, but it'll more or less stay cool, and then the bottom element will finish the bottom off later. And why they do that, I guess there's really two reasons. One is, if both elements were on, we'd be talking a lot of electricity, a lot of current. Because even one element uses quite a bit of electricity. So if you had two on, it'd be twice as much. You'd need some really big wire going to it. but having only one operate also gives you, second from having, if you couldn't have enough current to run both, and you could only run one at a time, you'd want to run the top one first, because it would heat that, just the top half of the tank up, and that's where your hot water exits the tank, is from the top. So if you heat the tank up, the top half of the tank up first, it'll heat up twice as fast or take half as long as to heat up the whole tank, because of course you're only heating up half the tank, and that gives you a faster recovery. So if one person's in the shower and uses up a good chunk of the water, the top element will be on, it'll be heating the top half of the tank up, and then the next person that gets in the shower will have at least the water that's in the top of the tank heated up for them, hopefully, by the time they get in the shower. Otherwise, it would start heating the bottom of the tank up, and it would just take it would take twice as long to heat up the entire tank of water. The downside, of course, is that that second person doesn't have much water to play with. They've only got, you know, maybe half the tank on the top. But better half the tank on the top than to have none at all, or have a whole tank of just lukewarm water. So that's the way they do it. It just, it basically hits the top half, and then it clicks over and heats the bottom half afterwards. They all have a temperature setting on them. You know, obviously, you don't want to set the temperature any higher than 120 degrees. I noticed on one of these things there was a chart, and it mentioned how long it takes you to get burned. And at 120 degrees, it takes like 5 minutes to really get a burn on your hand, I think is what the chart said. But as you go up to 130 and 140 degrees, it takes a lot less time. I forget the numbers, don't quote me on this, but at some point you could get like third degree or second degree burns in a matter of 5 seconds, if it was, I think, maybe 140 degrees or something. So it doesn't take much more temperature, you wouldn't think, to get so it would really burn your hand. So you want to keep it at 120, or if you got kids, you probably want to keep it a little bit lower. You might want to set it 110. It's still hot enough, for bathing and stuff like that, but it's just not hot enough to do any damage if they, you know, turn the hot water on in the shower or the bath by accident. You know, won't be burning them. It'll be uncomfortable, certainly, but it won't hurt them. So that's just a word of caution. Electric hot water heaters and water heaters in general come in different sizes, capacities. And, you know, the bigger the capacity, the bigger the heater is. It's a bigger tank. Most houses probably have a 40-gallon tank. That's pretty common. But you can get 60s and 80s, and I think you can even get 120s and maybe even biggers if you wanted them. They get to be really mammoth tanks. And why you need this capacity is because the electric element is really a pretty... It's a pretty good water heating, you know, way to heat water. It does a pretty good job of it, but it's just kind of slow. It maybe only heats a few gallons an hour or something like that. It doesn't heat, you know, it certainly doesn't heat enough water for you to take a shower with the water that's being heated. I mean, it would be a drizzle coming out of the shower head. So you need that storage to be able to build up, or, you know, all day long or for hours on end, the thing will heat water and it'll store up that hot water for when you need it fast. You know, when you're taking a shower or filling a bath, you need that capacity. You need to be able to get, you know, 20 or 30 gallons of hot water out of the water heater within a couple of minutes. And there's no way you could heat that kind of water with those elements in that amount of time. So they have to store it in reserve until you need it. And so depending on your use and how many, you know, showers or bathtubs you have, or how much water you suspect you're going to use, you have to choose the right water heater for that application. And you know, there's charts and stuff on the water heaters. But I mean, pretty much a 40-gallon hot water heater is probably going to be adequate for most families, unless you have, like, you know, three daughters that are, you know, teenagers or something, and you might need, you know, three or four 120-gallon ones in series. But, you know, if you have... if you take, you know, you could take several reasonable showers a day and, you know, have normal hot water needs met with a 40-gallon water heater. If you use a little bit more water, you might want to get a little bigger one, but you can check around. But I think 40 is probably the most common. That's what we always had at our house, and we pretty much never ran out of hot water. I mean, we had to really, you know, push it to run out of hot water. So, as I said, though, the electric hot water heaters, they work well. They're pretty maintenance-free. There's two things that go wrong with them. The first thing is they spring leaks. The old ones were all steel, and I think they coated them with something on the inside or whatever. But what would happen is if you had a hard water, the water would actually eat through the metal and would actually make them spring a leak after a while. I know in my old house where I grew up, you know, every 5 to 8 years we were replacing the hot water heater. It was just a regular occurrence that we would come down and find the floor of the basement all wet. And we'd have to take the water heater out, put a new one in. It was just like a never-ending thing. they have new ones now that are fiberglass lined or something, and they're supposed to last longer. I don't know how true that is, but I guess they make them a little bit better now. But they still spring leaks. They don't last forever. And the other thing, of course, that goes wrong with them is occasionally the electric element, the hot water heater element, will burn out. And that's pretty easy fix. You can put a new one in. You just have to turn the power off and drain the water out. There's a little petcock on the bottom. You open that up and hook a hose up to it or whatever and bring it into your sub pump drain or some other place. And drain the tank down below, so it's at least below that element that you have to replace. And the elements just unscrew somehow. You just unscrew them and, you know, take the wires off and put a new one on and put the wires back and screw it back in, and you're all done. They're pretty, easy to do. They're not that expensive, relatively speaking, and they might be $40 or $50 for an element or whatever. And you go ahead and replace the element pretty quickly. You know, other than that, they're pretty good. They're pretty inexpensive to purchase. There we go. Excuse me, I had a little sneezing fit. Got a little cold here. I'm a little stuffy, so if you hear me, my voice sound a little different. That's probably why. But anyway, so the water heaters, they're pretty good. They're pretty reasonable to buy. I think they're, a few $100 for a water heater, electric hot water heater. They're pretty easy to hook up. I mean, you got a hot and a cold on the top, cold inlet and a hot outlet. You got to tie that into your plumbing, obviously, and there's a power hookup. They take 220. I think it's like a 30-amp breaker. I'm not sure on that. I haven't hooked one up in forever, but I think that's maybe what they are. So you have to get power to them. And all hot water heaters have a pressure relief valve at the top. And there's one thing I want to tell you, too, about water heaters. In new houses, if you have... in new houses with city water, if you have a backflow prevention valve at the input of your house, which many houses now have, and in some cases it's code that you have to have one, depending on what you're doing in your house. If you have a sprinkler, a lawn sprinkler, or whatever, you have to have one. But if you have one of those backflow prevention valves, what that does is stop any water from your house going back out into the street, out to the city water supply. And, you would think that that'd be impossible because obviously that's it's under pressure and it's pushing water into your house. And you're right for the most part. But it is possible that, a neighbor down the street could have a fire or you could have a low pressure situation on the street for some reason. It could be just, somebody hit a water main or they have to turn it off for service or something. And when that happens, it's possible that... especially if you're on the top of the hill and the water line goes down the hill a little bit, it could actually start pulling or vacuuming water from your house. And if you have like a garden, a lawn sprinkler or something like that, it could actually start pulling water out of the pipes in the lawn sprinkler, which, that's underground. It's obviously not very sanitary. So they make you put those little stop valves in. But anyway, I digress as usual. Those valves keep any water from leaving the house and going out to the street. Now, the problem is when you have a hot water heater, let's say you put in a new hot water heater and you fill it up and you, run the faucet and get the air out of it so that the tank's totally full of water. But you do have to do that. When you first turn one of these things on, you want to go up and turn your hot water faucet on and let it run until you get rid of all the air. There'll be a lot of air in the tank that's got to get blown out through the plumbing. So make sure you do that before you turn the power on. If the electric hot water heater is turned on without power, it will burn the elements out. So, because obviously there's no water to cool them off, and they're going to overheat and burn up. So you want to make sure that there's water in the tank. Don't ever turn the power on without the thing being full of water. And again, make sure it's full of water by bleeding the air away. But let's say you do all that, and the water heater's full, and you turn the water heater on, and you've got your faucets turned off, and the thing just starts cooking water. Well, what happens when water heats, or when anything heats? It expands. And when it expands, the pressure inside the water tank is going to start to build up. And if you don't have a backflow preventer, some of the water will actually leave the tank, and it'll kind of push back through your plumbing system, and the place for it to go really is back out to the street. And it's okay, because that's all sanitary water that's in your house system, It's only like if you have the backflow preventers are really required if you have a sprinkler or a pool or something where you might be able to suck water back in. As that water expands, it'll escape out through that, through your city water connection. Or if you have a well pump, it'll just kind of back up into your water storage tank, your cold water storage tank, and, you know, it'll just bring the pressure up a little bit in that system, which, you know, won't be a big deal. It'll be fine. But if you have a backflow preventer and don't have a well pump, there's no place for that water to go because all your faucets are off. It can't go out to the street, and the water itself is not going to expand in the pipes. It can't. You need some place where there's an air cushion to be able to take up that extra water space, so to speak. So what happens is the pressure builds up in the water heater, and it could actually build up to the point where the water heater could spring a leak, because it could, you know, going from 30 degree water, 40 degree water, all the way up to 120 or 130 degree water, is going to cause an awful lot of expansion. So they have a relief valve at the top that will pop when the pressure gets too high. I don't know what they're set for, 100 pounds or whatever. When the pressure gets up over that pressure, it'll pop in relief and let some of the pressure off the tank, and it'll actually leak water out, you know, down a little pipe and onto the ground or into a drain or however you have it hooked up. And, you know, that's fine, but it's a waste of water, first of all. And second of all, if you keep tripping that valve, eventually it's going to probably stay tripped or not want to close all the way. It's like a little spring-loaded valve, and you get some, you know, some of that crap builds up in the seal there, and it won't seal good after a while, and you have to replace it. So you pretty much don't want to, you know, you don't want that thing tripping if it, you know, if it's not an emergency situation. So what you got to do in that case is you got to install a small expansion tank over the water heater, and they sell them just for this purpose. They're similar to what you'd put over a boiler. It's a little tank, and you just put it in line with the hot water outlet, and it's got a little bladder in it and some air, and as the water tank heats up and that water expands, it'll just push down the air, and it'll compress the air, and next time you turn the faucet on, it'll, you know, relieve that pressure, and you know, it won't be tripping your relief valve. So that's something you need to be cognizant of, and that's with any water heater, gas, electric, or oil. They all would need one of these relief valves and/or expansion tank arrangements. So that's just something you need to be aware of. And I caught this, I think on Home Time or Bob Vila or something. Some lady had a water heater that the valve was always leaking, and they replaced the valve and it was still leaking, and that's what they ended up determining that the problem was. So that was a good show that I saw. Sometimes you learn something good on those shows. But that's I think it was, I don't know, it's where the guys go out and fix people's house. I forget what's the home, not Home Time, it was, I don't know, one of those shows. This Old House, I think, maybe, or something. So anyway, that's something to keep in mind. But that's pretty much it for electric hot water heaters. Other than the last little detail I want to tell you is that they're probably the most expensive way to heat hot water. They're cheap to buy, but expensive to run, depending on where you are. In the northeast area of the country, and especially, you know, in really northern northeast, you know, up in Vermont and stuff, the power is through the roof. I mean, it could be like 18 cents a kilowatt. Down here in Connecticut, it's about 12. And I know there's places in the United States where electricity is still 6 or 7 cents a kilowatt hour. So you might want to look at your utility rate and see if it's, you know, if you're down in the lower end of that range, you probably wouldn't be a bad idea to get a hot water heater, but electric one. But if you're up near the top, I would strongly recommend going with one of the other fuels, because you're probably going to end up saving a lot of money over the long haul, even though the water heaters are going to cost you more because they're more complicated, but the fuel's just a lot less expensive. So you can, you'll save, over the years, you'll save a lot of money. So something to think about. The second type of water heater I'll talk about, and again, this discussion will take about a minute because there's not much to talk about, are basically gas and or propane water heaters. They're both pretty much the same. They're not the same, but they're pretty much the same. They have different size orifices because gas and propane are a little bit different, but they both operate the same. They're both a combustible gas, you know, there's not much difference there. Pretty much most of the water heaters that are gas operated, they look just like a electric one, except that they've got a vent pipe on the top, because obviously they're burning a fossil fuel, you know, propane or gas, and that needs to get vented. And some of them have a fan arrangement to induce that vacuum to get the fumes out of the house, and some of them are just connected up to a chimney, depending on your setup at your house. If you don't have a chimney, you can direct vent them, and I recommend doing that because it'll be a lot less expensive than putting a chimney in just for a hot water heater. So that's an option with gas, and I think oil too. They do make them for oil, although they don't work quite as well as the gas ones do, from what I've been told. But anyway, basically you have a burner in the bottom. It's connected up to your gas supply. Typically they have a pilot light. Some of them may be electronic igniting now, but most of them have a pilot light. You have to get down there and I'm not going to get into how to light pilot lights. I mean, there's a little valve. You have to turn it. There's like a spring-loaded position on it. You have to turn it, and it forces the gas on. You have to light it. Yeah, read the instructions. You have to light it, and then you have to hold it there for a little bit until it heats up the little thermocouple, and then you can release it, and it'll keep burning. If the pilot light goes off for some reason, a strong draft hits it or something, the thermocouple will cool off, and it'll shut that gas supply to the pilot light off. And that's just a safety thing, so it doesn't fill your basement up with propane gas or natural gas, which obviously is not a good thing. Things tend to explode when that happens. So they have that little safety deal there, and it works pretty well. So that's pretty much how you light them. I'm not going to get into it. But they heat the water with a little gas flame when there's a demand for hot water. You know, the tank is cooled down. A valve clicks and it throws more gas in there, and the pilot light lights it off, and it just heats the water up. Gas heaters typically heat up a little quicker than electric because they have a little bit more BTU input with the flames on the bottom. And they're certainly a lot less expensive to operate, just because the fuel cost, typically, because the fuel cost is just less expensive. So if you can swing that, I would recommend going with one of those. Alternatively, there's also oil-fired hot water heaters. Again, pretty much the same as gas, except you've got a little oil burner down there, a little oil gun, just like you would have on a oil burner or a furnace or a boiler or something like that. Except it sprays flames down in the bottom of the water tank, and that's what heats the water up. They all pretty much work the same. They all come in different sizes depending on how much water you need. Typically with the oil and the gas, you're going to get a quicker recovery rate, so you probably won't need a tank that's quite as big. But again, you know, look at the, they always give you spec sheets, and you can look at the, depending on how many fixtures you have and expect to use and things like that, and it'll tell you what size unit to get to have the optimum, have the optimum size so you don't run out of hot water all the time. So that's pretty much storage tank water heaters. Now I want to talk a little bit about on-demand water tanks or water storage. Talk about on-demand water heaters. There is no tank. There is no storage. The problem with tank water heaters, like I just talked about electric, gas, whatever, oil, water heaters, is that you have this big 40, 50, 60, 80, 120, whatever it is, gallon tank that sits in your basement hot all the time. It's always up to temperature, so when you need the water, you have it. The problem with that is that hot water is going to constantly be cooling down, right? Because it's not going to stay hot forever. There's insulation around the tank of some sort. Usually what I've seen they have is like a layer of fiberglass insulation around them. So they're insulated okay. They're not insulated that hot, but they're okay. But that water is going to constantly be cooling off. Also, the hot water will be slowly migrating up into the pipes, and the pipes will also give off hot water, the pipes above the heater as well. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. But so anyway, you're always losing, the hot water is always tending to cool down over time. And then the hot water heater elements or flame or whatever it is has to turn back on again to heat the water back up again. So, even if you're not using any water at all, let's say you go on vacation for a week. I mean, if you do, you ought to just shut your water heater off. But let's say you left it on and you went away for a week. The water heater is probably going to turn on once or twice a day for a short time just to keep it up to temperature. And it's burning energy to do that. And, that's, I guess, a waste to some extent. So, they come out with these on-demand hot water heaters that don't have any storage tanks. So with these things, if you don't ever use water, they never turn on. They only turn on when you need it, and they only run for as long as they need to run to give you the hot water that you need for that load. So they do save fuel, without a doubt. I mean, they got to save fuel. The only thing I'll just say, I love Rinnai water heaters. I have one. The only thing I'll say is if your hot water heater is in a heated area anyway, and you're in a colder climate where you're heating a lot anyway, the heat that's leaving the hot water heater is going where? Into your room. And you're paying to heat your room anyway, so it's not the end of the world in that case, if it's in a heated room. Now, if you have it down in a cold basement, or out in a, sometimes like in a mobile home, it'll be in a little cabinet on the outside of the mobile home or something. Well, it's inside the mobile home, but it's outside the heated area, or somewhat outside the heated area. You know, if that's the case, then, yeah, you're wasting that heat. It's just going outside or going into a big basement that's not heated, and it's just being wasted. But, again, if the water heater is someplace, sometimes they're right in a laundry room or something. If the laundry room's attached to your house and that heat's going to come into your house, it's not that big a deal. I mean, you are heating, whatever heat you're losing from the water heater is heating the air. And you're heating the air with electricity, which is more expensive than heating with, with gas or oil or something. But it's, it's not that much heat, so it's kind of negligible. So that's the only thing I'll say that makes the on-demand ones, less desirous, I guess, or maybe not as desirous. But the truth of the matter is, pretty much where everybody lives, there's always a summertime. And in the summertime, you don't want that heat. So it's a waste then anyway. But I just want to say that, in the winter, it's not such a big deal. It's like all this, these new, environmental regulations they have to have us get rid of incandescent light bulbs. That's fine and dandy, but in the winter time, when you have an incandescent light bulb going, yeah, they throw off a lot of heat, but the heat's heating up the room. It's not like, you're taking the heat and just throwing it outside. So it's like you have a light bulb on and a small electric heater. So, it's heating the room up. It's not like you're losing that heat necessarily. Unless it's going up in the attic or something, if you get crummy insulation or whatever, that's another topic altogether. But, it's not that cut and dry that, you're wasting electricity by using an incandescent lamp. Well, not really. in the winter, that heat's just heating your room up. So it's not, you're not really losing it. So I laugh at the way they market some of this stuff, because it really doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes. Again, in the summertime, having incandescent bulbs going all over your house is kind of dumb, because you're heating the air up, and then you have to pay more money to have your air conditioner cool it off. So, you can look at it a couple different ways, but I like to think about these things, and sometimes they don't always make as much sense as people, make them out to, so to speak. So anyway, so, for the most part, though, most people have their hot water heaters down in the basement. A lot of times the basement's not heated. And of course, people are always heating water in the summertime. So, at least during those times, anyway, that heat that's escaping from that hot water tank is wasted. It's just totally wasted. It's just going out into space and doing nobody any good. So these tankless hot water heaters are pretty slick. The tankless hot water heaters come really in about two different flavors, as far as I know. There's electric ones, and then there's gas ones, gas/propane. I have a propane one home, and ours is down in the basement, so I'm happy that I don't have a tank down there running, because I don't heat my basement. It never gets really cold, but I don't heat it, and having, a water heater running down there and heating up the basement would kind of be a waste. I wouldn't run an electric heater down there to heat the basement, so why would I want to have, an electric or even a gas water heater heating the space up? I don't heat it, so it would be a waste. So for me, it makes perfect sense. And again, in the summertime and all that, it even makes more sense. Now, how these things work is you have a very high-powered heating element. Unlike a hot water heater, where you have a relatively low powered heating element, I mean, it's pretty high power, but it's not high power enough to run two or three showers. When you have an on-demand unit, they're either a much higher capacity heating unit, or they're very limited in what they can put out. It's one or the other. Now, the electric ones, a lot of them are pretty limited in what they can put out. They're smaller units. They either attach 110 or 220 volts to them. And basically, they'll make enough hot water to supply a small sink or something like that. They do have bigger ones that will supply, showers or, multiple things. I mean, you can run your whole house off some of these things. But they have huge electricity demands when they run. They're very, very large consumers of electricity, because electricity, you just need a lot of it to heat that much water up that quickly. But the gas ones work really well, because gas, you just make a bigger flame. It's no big deal. You can have 180,000 BTU gas flame pretty easily, but to get 180,000 BTUs out of electricity is going to use many, many amps. I don't know the conversion, but it's going to be probably 50 or 70 amps or something, which is a lot of juice. So more than that, maybe. I don't know. I have to do the conversion, but it's a lot easier to do it with gas. So how these things work is there's a little sensor in there, a little impeller or something, that as soon as you turn the water on, they sense the water flowing through that hot water heater, and they automatically kick in and start heating water. And there's typically a little computer in there that calculates the temperature coming in, the water temperature coming in, the setting that you have the water temperature set for on the way out, and the flow rate. And they take that into those three items into consideration, and they the ones in the gas ones anyway, they turn the gas element on high enough to heat that amount of water. And you know, there's feedback. I mean, it keeps checking the output water temperature, and if it's not enough, it'll give it a little bit more or whatever. But you know, they kind of learn what they need to do to put out that, how much flame they need to put out that amount of water, you know, with that temperature rise or whatever. And that's what they do. And then as soon as you turn the water off, that little spinny little impeller or whatever it is in there stops spinning. And the thing says, oops, they don't need any more hot water. And they immediately shut off. They stop making hot water. And the gas one's typically there's a little blower that keeps blowing for another few seconds to get rid of the bad gases in the unit, you know, the combustion gases. And also, it's quicker for them to relight if you turn the water back on. But the actual heating element itself, the flames, rather, shut off immediately. And, you know, until you run that hot water demand again, they don't come back on again. And it's kind of neat to watch them, because depending on how much water you have, like if you have one faucet on just a little bit, it's a relatively gentle flame in there. And as you turn the water on more and turn on a second faucet and a third faucet, the flame gets higher and higher in there. You can actually see it through a little sight glass. You can actually see that it's throwing a bigger flame and doing more heating. Putting my hand on the output pipe of my Rinnai, it'll be cold. And you'll turn the hot water heater on. Well, you'll turn a hot water faucet on, and the heater will kick on. And you pretty much count to three: one, two, three, and the pipe's hot. I mean, it heats up pretty instantaneous. I mean, it takes a couple seconds, but it's really quick. And you know, you still got to wait for the cold water to flush out of the pipes to get up to the faucet. But that you do that with any water heater. Pretty much the time difference between doing that and waiting for the heater to come up to temperature, it's a couple seconds. I mean, it's negligible. So they really are instantaneous. They're pretty quick, and they work really well. The electric ones typically are used like under sinks. If you have a sink that's a long ways from your water heater, or you know, just a far kind of remote area of your house, you could put one of these in just, you know, to run that hot water, that sink or whatever, if you're not going to be using it very often. And you don't have to, you know, run it for an hour to get all that cold water out of the pipes to get the hot water up from the hot water heater. So that's kind of one use that they use those for a lot. They use them commercially too in buildings, you know, big commercial buildings. Again, so you don't have to run hot water through pipes for, you know, hundreds of feet when you just have a little sink that's going to barely ever be used. You know, you might as well put one of these little on-demand things. The little electric ones really work well for that. They're you know, ideal for that. You don't have to run gas to them and vents and all that stuff, and you're not using a lot of water anyway, so it works fine. But the gas ones are really great for a whole house. They have capacities that are large enough to supply a house with hot water. The one we have, you know, we've never run out of hot water. Never. It's never happened. We have plenty of water. You know, I've taken a shower myself with the dishwasher pulling water and the laundry machine pulling water, and in that shower I don't even know that they're on. I mean, it works just fine. It's plenty able to keep up with the demand. Again, these things come in different sizes, different capacities, and a lot of it's the flame size and the size of the heat transfer unit in there. It's like a little radiator that's in there that transfers the heat. you know, bigger units obviously going to have a bigger one of those and going to have more flame power going into it. But they're, you know, they come in different sizes, but they, you know, if you get the right one, they do a really great job. They're reliable, they're safe, and they're very clean, and they're very, very efficient. Again, you don't, you know, they don't run unless you need them, and then they only run for a few seconds. Your hot water heater, your typical propane hot water heater, the thing lights and runs for, you know, 10 minutes a couple times a day just to keep that water hot. And again, that water, that heat's just escaping out into the room, so it's kind of a waste. Again, unless you're, you know, heating that space anyway, but if you're not, it's a waste, and generally you're not. So they're a good idea to get. They're pretty expensive, those units, because there's a lot more electronic control in them. There's blowers. They're just much more high-techy, so they cost a lot more. I mean, a Rinnai, you're looking probably, you know, a couple grand to get a Rinnai installed, where you can get a gas hot water heater for, I don't know, $600 or $800, or, well, let's say $1,200, because the Rinnais are all direct vent, and the direct vent water heater costs you about $1,200. So they're probably about twice as expensive. But again, over 10 or 15 years, you're going to save way more than that, probably, in propane. If you go on Rinnai's website, or I think the government website, that they have some tools on there that you can look and see how much fuel you'll save, if it's going to make sense for you. You can check that out yourself and make that determination. But just want to let you know that those things do exist, and they're really cool. What I'll probably do, I might even try and do this week, I might throw my video camera on that Rinnai and let's show you how it works. It's pretty cool how the flame modulates depending on the load and how quick it lights and stuff like that. It's pretty cool to see it, and I think you might enjoy taking a look at that. So I might try and get that up as one of these videos this week. So with that, I'm going to bail with you. I'm starting to lose my voice here. I got a stupid little cold here. So hopefully that gave you a little bit of a insight into water heaters. Oh, there's one other thing I want to tell you. If you have one of the conventional water heaters with the tank, you can put what is known as a circulator valve, circulator pump, on the tank as well. If you have faucets that are out quite a ways from the tank and you don't want to wait forever for that hot water to turn on, what you can do is you can run another little, you can just do a half inch line, it's plenty big enough. You can run a half inch line out to that last faucet out, you know, to in the basement, maybe just below that last faucet, and you could tie that half inch pipe in with your hot water feed and bring that back to your water heater. And there's little circulator pumps you can hook up to that, and what it'll do is it'll draw water back from that point way in the back and pump it back into the cold inlet of the water heater. And what that does is pulls the hot water out of the water heater and fills that loop up with the hot water out of the water heater. So when you turn the water on at that last faucet, you just need to run it out of the pipes from that last point where that little pipe is we just added up to your faucet. So, I mean, it might be just a couple feet of pipe rather than having to wait for that whole big long pipe to heat up. And these things work off temperature. So when the pipes cool down, they'll automatically turn back on again and flush enough of that cold water out to get it hot again. Or you can set them with a timer so they go on maybe, you know, in the morning when you get up, they go on, and maybe before you go to bed or something. And they probably work with that and temperature. I've never had one of these, but I know that they exist and they work well. So they probably work with time and temperature. You know, at 6 o'clock in the morning, they'll turn on until it heats up, and then they'll shut off or whatever. But a neat little thing, if you have a house where your bathrooms are kind of all spread out all over the place, might not be a bad idea to get one of those if you don't like waiting for the hot water. You know, it just takes that cold water and puts it back into the water heater to reheat it. Now, what that does, it doesn't really save you any energy per se, because you still have to heat the water up in those pipes. But what it does is it saves you water, because instead of wasting that water, like normally you would just leave the faucet run or leave your shower run until it gets hot, that water, of course, is going down into the drain. With the circulator pump, the water is going back into your water tank, so you're not wasting the water. So if you have a problem with water supply with your well, you know, this might be a trick that you might want to do, because you could probably save several gallons a day just by using one of these little recirculator pumps. So just something to think about. Just wanted to let you know that those exist. I kind of forgot about that. So with that, I'm going to sign with you. I want to thank you again for listening to this, the Homeowner's Friend Podcast, the podcast that will help you achieve the American dream and live the best life you can, even on a rice and beans budget. Take care, folks. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
I got the blue. Home on the blues. Well, man's home is his castle. This one's just a hassle. Home on the blues.